We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. I got a DNVR pick of the week for you right here. Nathan MacKinnon is going to score a goal soon. I promise. So, I'm taking him to score one in the Avs' very next game in Philadelphia.
Fuck off with this.
What?
No, go ahead.
What?
No, you're good.
Hmm? You're salty today?
No, just this. Okay. The Avs are not the contenders that they are thought to be.
No one's even thinking about that. If you watch this game, I don't know how you could ever come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
In any case, go to DraftKings. Bet on Nathan MacKinnon to score a goal because it's going to happen eventually.
Hell yeah.
Use code DNVR when you sign up a new account.
It's going to happen eventually.
To get amazing odds boosts. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. So this game was a mess for all three teams on the ice, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Let's start. These two... 7-5 and 6-5 finals Avs sends this year.
Yeah.
So excited to see if these two teams can ever get a goaltender.
Woo. Imagine if a puck could get stopped in one of these hockey games.
What a wild concept.
All right, let's start where we finished off. First of all, how okay with a point are you out of tonight for Colorado?
I'm good with it, man.
Jesse? Look,
I think I was gonna say what AJ was about to, but given the circumstances, you were down 5-2 at one point.
You had let's be real here, and this is for the guy with the Objective Avs Twitter account. This is specifically for that guy.
Yeah.
for the bottom line wins and losses only crowd.
Yeah.
This is your confirmation bias is just off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these guys just aren't that good. These guys aren't real contenders. These guys can't do whatever you want them to do. And, you know, the orange slice crowd is going to be really going hard tonight. But listen, you're on your third and fourth goaltender. You are losing players. You have three game time decisions.
All of which go against you.
You have three game time decisions. Two of your top four defensemen and your second line center, who is fourth in the NHL in scoring. And your second line center. It's a weird thing to say, right, but like,
right, well, right. And even
so,
like,
you have all those game time decisions go against you.
Well, and it's not, and two of them you knew were game time decisions.
Right.
So maybe you're ready for, but Makar was just, oh, I guess he's out now.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, oh, and salary cap wise, you don't have the money, even with the LTIR, even with Frankie still on LTIR, you didn't have the money for the last minute injury to have another player on your roster to put into the lineup. You just didn't. When they called up McDonald yesterday, they ate into that, and they were only they didn't have enough money for even a minimum salaried player. Yep. So they were screwed there. And so you're playing shorthanded. You're playing without half of your defense, your top defense here. If you really wanted to like include Ryan Murray, half of your defense. You're playing on your third goaltender, and like you're playing in a building against a team that's not very good in Ottawa, and the game gets going and chaotically just goes against you. Like you have an officiating crew that is just not having a good
seemingly
night.
Seemingly every turn, right.
it just was not having a good night.
So go ahead.
I just want to preface this because we're going to get into the wrapping talk.
See, here it is. It sounds like excuses. You know what? Excuses, they're just this. What have I said right now? That's false.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not the case? So when you get that, and then you don't play very well, and you get down 5-2, and you walk out of that building with a point.
Yeah.
You don't love it.
Look,
you don't love it. We talked about how this was a really important game for the road trip.
Yep.
Because it sets up the rest of your road trip and how you feel about it. You don't love it. You're not thrilled about it. You're not in that locker room right now isn't like, woo!
Yeah, no.
It's not excited, but the reality is that you don't make the postseason because of wins and losses. You make the postseason because of points.
Yep. The Avs are 1-1 on the trip.
You look at the Calgary Flames and the St. Louis Blues sitting where they are in the standings because they find ways to get beyond regulation in games they lose.
Yep.
Fine.
Avs found a way to get beyond regulation in this one.
They were down 3 goals. And how much nonsense have we had to hear about how the Avs can't come back in the last couple of years?
Yep.
How many times have we heard all about it, about how the Avs can't come back? Look, the Avs have made multiple comebacks this season, now, this year, in third periods of games to either win games or get points. So this is not a great night. This is not a great night, but this is in no way the end of the world failure that so many clown shoes are going to try and pretend this is.
This conversation, everyone always tries to make it super black and white.
Yeah,
it's not. No one on this panel is going to tell you the Avs played well tonight.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Well, and I'm going to ask you guys a question. At what point does something switch from being context to being an excuse?
It's up to the person. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
You know, the dude sitting in chat that's upset about everything is going to be the, and that's not directed at anybody in particular, because I know there's at least one of you who's just mad right now.
I'm assuming that one that says we need to rebuild is a joke.
I am also assuming.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's sarcastic to go along with what we're saying.
The mad guy is going to say these are all just excuses.
Well, and again,
it's all true.
It's
all
right,
of that context is true.
That's what I was just about to say. There's excuses, and then there's context. Everything that AJ said, just, you know, in the last 2 minutes, it was 100% true. You're without this guy. This guy was a game-time decision. You're on your number 3 goalie. And honestly, there's people in here saying that, oh, had Anonin started, it would have been better. We were talking about this halfway through that third period.
What did JoJo do wrong?
We all agreed that maybe that first one, it's like, you'd like to see him come up with a save there, but, I mean, the third goal...
It's completely made up.
We'll save that for a little bit later because we're going to talk about it.
But it's completely
made
up.
And then he gets beat on 2 backdoor plays where Avs forwards or defensemen.
Yeah, they were playing like straight garbage in front of him. And in net doesn't stop any of those if they play out the same way.
Yeah. The backdoor like cross ice on the 2
right,
on 1.
And we said it a bunch of times amongst ourselves while watching the game. If that third goal doesn't count, the fourth goal doesn't happen, and JoJo continues playing, and Anonin probably never enters this game. I don't get the JoJo frustration there. But again, no one
understand him being pulled,
right? Oh,
and understand that you're not looking at him and saying, "Bro,
yeah. Right? That
what
was
just happened?
That was a pull for hey, we need to wake up, snap out of it. The goal counted, move on." I'm like, if you want me to come up with excuses, there were three really soft penalty calls on the Avs, two of which that led to goals for the Senators, and
a made-up goal that the refs just decided was a goal, apparently.
Yeah.
And a goal taken away from the Avs near the end of the third period, which maybe there's conclusive evidence like, there, maybe there's
there
not.
There were some people who were like, that was, AJ, that was clearly offsides. Let's be real here. That was clearly not anything except really, really close.
Yeah, we all thought.
I couldn't clearly see the line between there. I don't have a problem with them saying it was offside. They might have had maybe really a zoomed-in look that we didn't.
Yeah.
But from the ones that we looked like, it was, to me, that's a 50-50 call, and I don't feel strongly either way.
No, and actually, the
I don't have
a
problem.
So here's something that people will like. Here's what I do feel strongly about. Landy should have taken a half step forward, puck's never even in question.
Would be nice if Gerard made a little more
He just fanned on it.
It would be nice if he actually made a real play on that puck. Yeah. It'd be nice because when it happened live, I immediately said, boy, that was awfully casual because Landy's approach to it was just like...
He went to it like it had already come offside. Like that was how he stepped towards it.
As the play happened, I said, that's out.
Yeah.
Live. I was like, that's
out. Yeah, it looked out. And then they scored, and we were like, uh-oh. Then all of the Avs players' faces were like, nobody tell them.
And when they panned to Landy on the bench, and he goes, fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn it. But no, honestly, man, like that was a game word again.
I didn't think it was conclusive.
Yeah, agreed.
I didn't think it was conclusive. But ultimately, I don't have a problem with the call.
Yeah, no.
Because it was close enough that you could absolutely come to the conclusion and say,
And I said this to you guys exactly. I carry a 4K camera around in my pocket every day.
Yeah.
And that is the quality that the NHL has for their blue line cams for some of the most important, crucial calls of a game. But look, the Avs didn't play great. There were several times throughout this game where we said, they're just not moving their feet. They're standing still. There was guys that made bad plays. On that second goal, Mikko lets his, turns the puck over, then lets his guy just walk right to the net without back checking. There's a lot of things that you could say, that went wrong. They didn't play well. You know, I saw someone in here earlier saying that they should replace McKinnon with Logan O'Connor. Nathan McKinnon had 3 points tonight.
Dude, right.
and again, it's still... He's not playing to the level you want him to play at. He makes a questionable call.
It's not even that Nathan McKinnon is not playing at the level you want to play at. He kicked ass tonight.
He just didn't score.
Yeah. And he put a pretty hearty 29 on one of those posts, five minutes into the game.
Yeah, it just there were a lot of things that seemed like, honestly, and this is a major homer take, and by no means is this my takeaway from tonight, but you could make the argument that, like, given everything that's stacked against him, including this goal, you could say, we're happy to get out of there with a point. We didn't have our legs fully.
Dude, ultimately.
You have a team that played bad hockey, got down by 3, couldn't buy a call in any way, shape, or form in the night, and they still clawed it all the way back, including getting a goal taken away in the last 3 minutes of the game, and then getting another one.
And the other big thing for me here tonight is you get goals from Darren Helm, Tyson Jost, Alex Newhook, and then your top line.
Yep.
And Devon Taves.
Yep.
Like, your power play goes, I think it finished 1 of 3, which if you could guarantee that you get 1 of 3 every night, you would take it.
Every night.
You would take 1 of 3 every single night.
I told you without watching the game, Juuse Saarinen's in net, the Avs are down by 3, and they get a point. Before you watch the game, you'd be like, I'll take that.
Yep.
Had you told me that would have been the outcome tonight, that they were going to be down 5-2, Juuse Saarinen would be in the game. Yeah, of course.
And so again,
I don't agree at all that they didn't deserve the point at all. Not even a little bit.
I
had the Avs even when they were down 5-2. I told you guys I thought the Avs were going to win this game because it just felt that way.
Yeah,
they were absolutely outplaying Ottawa, not in such a dominant fashion. It wasn't one of those 22-4 shots on goal kind of games, but you could just see they were getting opportunities. They were blowing opportunities. Tyson Jost missed an empty net. Logan O'Connor gets stopped on a clean breakaway again. There were some really good chances for them to score even more goals in this game.
Those two guys also hook up on a shorthanded chance that Jost just gets you know, snagged walking down the slot. Like, I don't know. This game honestly reminded me a lot of the last Colorado-Ottawa game, where it just seemed like every time Ottawa was making their way up the ice, the puck was going in the net, and the Avs were having to fight through a lot. And it just is what it is. This is another one of those games where it just goes like this sometimes.
Yeah, and the ultimate, like, it being 6-5, like, yeah. If you're going to look, Nathan MacKinnon makes a bad play in overtime. Nathan MacKinnon makes lots of bad plays in lots of overtimes.
Yep.
That guy has cost them so many extra points over the last few years. I'm not going to get mad about it. It just is what it is. You just have to accept at that point that you live and die with a player who's not very good, whose talent says he should kick ass at 3-on-3. And just doesn't.
Well, you live with
the
that.
The reality is just, it just is what it is.
To make the same argument that all the people who are talking about the Avs being contenders, you don't play 3-on-3 in the playoffs.
Right, it's meaningless.
So.
And just to make this point, and I'm going to continue hammering this away all year long for those people out there, no matter what happened tonight, the Avs could not make it out of the second round of the playoffs tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Sorry about that.
Well, and so here's all the people that are saying, oh, they're not a contender. Oh, they're not. So let's say Nathan MacKinnon decides to shoot that instead of trying to make a cross-ice pass and it goes in. The game still went exactly the same way. Are all these people saying they don't look like a contender if Nathan MacKinnon and Valeri Nichushkin score on that last shift?
Most of them, yes.
Think so?
A lot of the people in that boat are pretty dead set in that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They live there.
I just like... Yeah. Rudo, you said it best right off the top. You're not going to find one of us starting to say, wow, the Avs played so well. That's such a shame they lost. They played poorly, and they still scratched out a point.
You can't take a team that clawed back down from 5-2 and say they didn't deserve it.
You just can't be that upset. Like, you want to get mad that they were down 5-2 in the first place? Like, fair enough.
Honestly,
there were asterisks all over. It's one of those things where you're like, they were down 5-2 to Ottawa. That is unacceptable. It's like, did you watch it?
Right.
Like, I hate to be the did you watch it guy, but
did you watch it?
Did you watch that thing?
There's excuses and there's context, and sometimes they're the same, and a lot of times they're not.
I want to consolidate our thoughts here. Let's get through some of the negatives. If your name is Mikko Rantanen, Andre Burakovsky, Eric Johnson, or Jack Johnson, can you play better defense?
Jaycon
too? Okay, fair.
Who?
Jacob McDonald.
Oh, okay. I was like, who's Jaycon?
Which team was it that misspelled his name on the...
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Avs put that out? I thought it was the other team.
No, it was the Avs that had them all over. That's why it was so funny.
Yeah, they put it out his name as Jaycon McDonald.
Just a typo that we thought was really funny. Yeah. And so we're just calling him Jaycon.
He's Jaycon now.
I actually really liked him going with Mac, Nuke, and Taves in overtime.
Well, and so you saw why Nuke in overtime is a beast.
Unbelievable play.
Because he takes that shot on goal. He goes hard at the net to get the stoppage so that they don't reverse it and cram a odd man rush down his throat to get the face off. It's really, really, really smart play. Awesome. Right before they lose the game, they lost possession. Nuke forechecks the hell out of it, gets the puck back for them, almost is able to get a step for his own breakaway, doesn't, defers to Nathan MacKinnon, because why wouldn't you? And then MacKinnon just makes a really... when he did it, I was like, no! And all three of us were sitting here. We knew how this ended.
Yep.
All three of us were sitting here like, okay, this is here it comes.
Yep.
Like, shades of Mark Stone in Game 5. Like, you just know how that story ends.
It's not
ends.
Even that far, because, like, they get the puck, and you're like, oh, right, it's Eustace Annenin back there.
Well, it was mostly just like, another MacKinnon throw in overtime is a fitting way for this to go.
It was.
And especially because it can never just be easy. We can never just be like, Nathan MacKinnon was the shit tonight with 3 assists, 4 counting the game-winning goal to Ottawa. Because it could never just be that easy, right? We could never just, he could never just like win the game and us be like, Nate Dogg! And like, it's a party up in here. It had to be just a little more complicated than that.
Yeah. one of the things that I do want to take away from this game that was a, I think, is a concern that has spanned more than just this kind of crazy game. The Avs have been consistently leaving dudes painfully wide open, 3 feet in front of the crease.
Yeah, their like, their rotations and reads have been real, real bad, and I think some of this is because there are certain forwards who just are not playing well right now.
Yeah,
and it's showing up more than anywhere else in their defensive play.
Yep.
And I'm looking at 95 right now, primarily because his defensive play has been...
It was nightmarish tonight. Yeah.
Oof, bad.
Well, and he's another one that you and I talked about Tyson Jost yesterday, AJ, and I was saying, I was like, well, he got that goal in kind of garbage time, and you were hoping that it would propel him, and he comes out, gets a goal tonight. Burakovsky's that same type of player. He scores a big goal two nights ago.
Yeah.
And so I was expecting a good game out of him.
Man.
You got a clutch goal two nights ago that helps your team out, extends the lead, kind of puts a team away. And honestly, I thought this was one of his worst games.
We all agreed.
We've been asking them to take Berkey off of PP1 for weeks.
Tonight it was especially because Kadri was out.
Yeah.
And so Berkey obviously slots in there in Kadri's spot. But with the way that each player was playing, this was Alex Newhook's game.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we can just jump to this boat right here. King of the game.
That was...
Basically, single-handedly got the Avs back upright and going in this game.
There was no flow, no life, no jump, no anything going on in the game. And then Alex Newhook gathers the puck up at center ice.
And says, what up, Lassie Thompson?
Straight up highlight reels. Lassie Thompson. Yeah, Lassie Thompson probably gonna have a good career.
I think
a good NHL career. That goes on the highlight reel. That goes on the blooper reel.
You're talking about it as, you know, Nate's trying to be the big dog in overtime. That play that Newhook made, that's the type of thing you expect out of Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Like just all world type stuff.
Changed the whole feel of that game because he scored that goal. And look at that intensity.
Yep.
That's not a we're down and out of this game kind of response. Especially with as much time was left on the board. That was a we just scored. We're back in this. We're not going anywhere.
Yep. So
this was tonight was game 21, right? So this starts the next 10 game segment, and we
0-1.
They're 500. Right
the worst,
now.
The worst place to be.
Yeah.
How do you feel about 0-1?
Right. And so I guess that was kind of what I was going to say was we said that all right, you probably need to move that needle from 12 points every 10 segments to 14 to make up for that little bit of a rough start. They got 16 in their last 10 game segment.
Yeah.
And they got one to start this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When you break it into those 10 game chunks. Again, there's things you'd like to see differently tonight. But if I told you, go into work, you don't have your keyboard, you've got a monitor, it's got a touchscreen type interface that you could get on there, and I took your mouse, and I took your chair. Yeah, you can still go do your job, but if your boss came in at the end of the day, it was like, what the fuck? Why didn't you get all that stuff done? You'd be like, well, I didn't have any of my stuff. It's the same thing tonight.
Yep.
Especially if you walked in, put your cup of coffee down, and then I walked in and took all this stuff. You'd be like, well, damn, I had all these plans to get all this stuff done. I saw everything I needed in here, and then when I came back, someone took it all away.
Jesse is describing my roommate that just moved out, who moved out over the holiday weekend in which I and the other roommate were both out of town for Thanksgiving. And he just decided to have himself a little one-man shopping spree and moved out and took a bunch of our shit.
Not great.
I got a text from my buddy from Toronto. Shout out, Harry. He's a goalie, and he texted me after that fifth one. He's like, do you think I could play goalie for the Avs? Because he watched them a few nights ago in Toronto and then watched them tonight. He's like, looks like there might be a problem going on. But shout out, Harry. Shout out your roommate. Ex-roommate.
Yeah, I tell you, threatened him with a police report. That dude folded like the French.
Yep. Yeah.
All of our shit showed back up an hour later.
Yep.
Okay, let's have this conversation because we have to have it. Are there any rules lawyers in the chat? Because genuinely, I don't know how in the history of hockey, I don't think I've ever seen that get called a goal.
Can we get some winner shots just so I can get through this segment?
Yeah, no. That's the last thing I need. Yeah, I don't know. That was really weird. Someone sent me something on Twitter with like the technicalities of the rule to it. And it's so vague.
Yeah. It's vague enough that you could kind of just make that up.
Right. And
you can make up an interpretation.
It feels like they made it up. That's what it feels like.
Was so weird to me where there was no call on the ice. I don't understand how they get together, confer, and say that was a goal, and then you have to have something conclusive enough to overturn it. I felt pretty confident about the fact that somewhat recently the NHL adopted the IIHF version of the rule that regardless
if the net's off, it's not a goal,
of the circumstance, if the net isn't set, that it doesn't count. Everyone remembers the Russia-US game where the net was off a peg by like this much.
I thought it was Germany, but I don't know.
No, it set up the shootout that TJ Oshie went off on. But the net was off by like this much for a good 90 seconds.
The goalie knew it too.
Right, right. And then the puck eventually went in and Jonathan Quick was like, nope, net's off. I thought for sure the NHL adopted that. So when they showed the replay, I was like, oh yeah, that's an easy no goal. That was just one of the most bizarre turns in the game. And now you can criticize the Avs because they definitely seem like they hung their heads a bit. They were a little stunned for a couple minutes. So sure, if you want to say that, but like I don't think they should have been down 3-2 in the first place.
I mean, here's what baffles me about it.
What?
First of all, Jack Johnson hits the dude. Not making any bones about it.
No!
He hits him. But he's allowed to.
Right.
Stützle has the puck. He's allowed to hit him.
Yeah, that's an eligible player to
be
hit.
The events that happen after that, Jack Johnson is not responsible for.
Right.
Stützle falls over and slides into the goalie. It's not Jack Johnson's fault. That happened.
Well, and he honestly even hit him like at this direction. Yeah. It's not like he shoved him from behind. I don't know. I just thought that was a really weird one, and it was a weird turn in the game.
And my second argument to that part specifically is remove the puck from that context. If the puck is not there and that happens, how many times have we seen goalie interference get called on the
Tyson Jost
there?
Two nights ago?
Right.
An identical play gets called for goalie interference.
I don't understand.
I don't know. There was a lot in this, and we also pointed out there was no flow to this game. It was a 5 o'clock start that ended after 8.
We're past the 3-hour mark before overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a really weird game.
There were 5 periods tonight. It was 3 regulation periods and overtime and the anthems.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, there's a lot of things you'd like to see the Avs do better on certain plays. Oh, I'd like this guy to do that. I'd like this guy to do that. Absolutely. No one isn't saying that. You lost it overtime to a bad team. Yeah. Carolina lost to this same team in overtime 2 nights ago.
That was in regulation.
Carolina lost to this same team in regulation it's 2 nights ago.
Kind of similar style because the Sens were up 2-0 and Carolina scored twice. And then gave up on the next shift after they tied it.
Right,
gave up the game-winning goal.
The game-winning goal.
And cost me $100.
Right, and it's like, you can call them excuses if you want, but this game looks completely different if random Sens players don't just toe-pick and the Avs get called for penalties because they fell over.
That was the other one. The second on, you know, Andre Burakovsky was bad tonight for a lot of reasons. But his two penalties were not.
The first one was like as strict an interpretation of hooking as it possibly gets, where you're like, sure.
But
it very, very, very briefly happened.
If you're going to set it
so
up that
Like, sure. But the other one is made up.
It is not.
Straight up fiction.
My other issue with that first one that gets called on Burakovsky, so you said that is textbook letter of the law made by an official 100 feet away from the play.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of weirdness in tonight. That second one, he whacks the guy in the knee and he toe picks and goes down, and that led to the fourth goal that really felt like oh.
That was a kick to the teeth.
Yeah, right after a ludicrous third goal, and that's where you do give the Avs a little bit of credit for climbing back in it.
Yeah,
it would have been fun for Anandin to come up with that stop. Brady Tkachuk's a really good player, and he's on a clean breakaway.
Yeah, also, Brady Tkachuk, to be clear here, made a really nice back check and read to disrupt McKinnon's pass. It was a bad pass with a very predictable ending, but Brady Tkachuk makes a nice play.
Yep. Yeah. And so...
Dick.
I don't know. I don't know how long into this pod we are. I don't have much else to say
about
it.
Doesn't really matter. It's Saturday.
It's Saturday. Like, yeah. we can
it's Saturday. It's just show six of the week. We're good, dude.
I just like, I don't know. Like,
the only
what
other,
else is there to say about this game?
The only other thing I really want to bring up tonight is how good Devon Toews was. In a night where the defense was in shambles and the offense needed every bit it could get, he did it on both ends. The dude is just a machine for this team. As a guy who, it's not flashy, right? Nothing he ever does is flashy. He just takes pucks away in the defensive zone. He throws pucks on from outside that are not bombs, but quality shots.
He gets pucks through.
Yep. And it just works. It just works for him. So, yeah.
He was pretty high event tonight.
Was he?
26-22.
Even then, finds a way to be positive in a game where it was
nonsense. There were a couple of really high event guys.
But it's... for a game that the Avs lost in overtime, 6-5, I think there's a bunch of positives you can take away from a game like this.
Yeah, and there are some certain negatives.
Of course.
That really, and the negatives that are there are like, those they're not new negatives.
Right, right. It's the same stuff.
Yeah, it's some of the same things, and like, it's really problematic getting down 5-2, and that they're... Their emotional maturity continues to be a problem for me because they go to sleep in the middle of games a little too often.
It hurts, especially after the Montreal game, where you're like, this is one of the most complete games it felt like they played this year.
Right, and like they treated a bad team like a bad team.
Yeah.
On the second night of a back-to-back, and then they roll into Ottawa tonight, and it just... There were a lot of things, and I also think that the uncertainty over the lineup is problematic.
It's not helping.
Because it's one thing when you're like, okay, here's the lineup, here's what's up. But when you literally go into the game and you have a third
of your lineup,
a third of your defense, you're just not sure what's happening. And then Nazem Kadri is your 2C. It's just tough.
So
and it puts you in a bad position, and I don't, like, I understand where Bednar was coming from with the combinations that he used, where he moves Rantanen, who's been playing center for, you know, while the entire time McKinnon was out.
Decently, too.
Puts him in Kadri's spot and moves Burakovsky up. And, like, he's trying to minimize the amount of movement. He puts guys back together who have played together in Jostin Newhook and Abe Kubel, and, like... With 11 forwards, you're still rotating. Right.
There's
still
no
different combinations.
Here.
Yeah, it's, there's not.
You're just trying to survive.
Right. And like, is the aspect that we've really just, like, we've touched on where we're like, this happened? But, like, they were shorthanded tonight.
Yeah. Well, and
played with 11 forwards.
Yep.
When the Avs really started playing well, one of the things I asked Jared Bednar and Devon Toews was what changed? Because, like, there really was starting on game 11, like, there was a noticeable difference after those Columbus games in their play, and that was when Jared Bednar gave me the answer of, we had a couple guys who were dinged up that we forced into practice because we hadn't gotten almost any reps with our lineup. We needed our lineup to be practicing in the pairs they're going to play in, to be practicing in the line combinations they're going to be playing in, and this is just another one of those nights where you spent yesterday practicing with Devon Toews and Cale Makar, and Bowen Byram was out at practice, and and then today, none of that.
Yeah.
Not one of those combinations that they played with in Montreal stayed the same, top to bottom. Eric Johnson and Jack Johnson was the only combination from two nights ago that played together tonight. Everyone else was playing with someone different.
And it's not at all like we're saying
that's why they lost,
or that these guys shouldn't be able to adapt or figure that out on the fly. Just that it changes things.
Right.
It makes it harder to get off to that good start when you're still trying to kind of feel out some of those things.
Yep.
And it's been one of the issues I think that the Avs have had throughout the start of the season is that so many injury issues have forced them to constantly be trying to find these adjustments. and this like never ending like shifting goalpost that it just doesn't seem to stop, you know, like yeah. But what was the biggest thing with McKinnon out when they had that 7-1 stretch? There were no lineup changes.
Yeah.
Only lineup changes were healthy scratches because they were moving some guys in and out.
Bit pieces.
Yeah. Who were not
Kale
playing
McCarr,
well.
Not
right.
Nathan like Kadri.
They were playing the same guys every night. They were getting into a real rhythm, and no doubt it helps that they were playing bad teams. No doubt that it helps them come back because Anton Forsberg sucks and he was in net and that the Sens really just aren't very good. Like, no doubt that benefits them. But you got a point out of a game in which you were down three goals.
All right.
You'll take it. You're not 100%. You're not happy about it. You'll take it.
Like I said, turn the clocks back 4 hours. If I told
survival.
You, you're down by three, you have Yusuf Annan in net, and you get
all
a
right.
point, everybody would take it.
See what the chat has to say about it. We got some super chats here.
What y'all got for us?
Alyssa says, as a Sens fan, sorry for the reffing, but that was so fun.
Yo, all good.
Catch dubs where you can. Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sens fans should apologize for no success yep. that they ever have because there's just not much of it, so you got to take it where you can.
Yep, absolutely.
She's also an Avs fan, otherwise I wouldn't have said that.
shout out Millie Vanilli lip syncing to the on the yeah that that
was
broadcast
really
was
really interesting. Yeah, we were immediately Rudo and I were like, "What's up with this desync?"
And then Blake says, why would he pass it there? What are you doing?
He's trying to make a play, man. Well, he's trying to make a play. That's yeah. just Nate's way.
It's
very frustrating, but you just kind of got to live with
it.
Well,
and it's go
it
ahead.
Sucks,
I don't want to take your.
I'm just saying it's the exact same thing he did on the power play in the third period. Late, and not the one they scored on, but.
The one to Burakovsky.
Yeah. Where it's. All three of us are begging him to come off the wall and
in
shoot
the Columbus
puck.
Game where he gives it to Gus Nyquist, who misses yeah. the empty net and ices the puck, and then they score
well,
on the faceoff
and
to
so
Byram.
Here's the flip side of that
memories.
Because there's three that we just called out where I was like, oh, why does he do that? And then you think back to last season and like the nine times where he got those through to Mikko and they're all one-timer goals.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you know what he's going
you
for.
Know, you know why he's doing it, right. But you also know the other team wants him to do it.
Well, and
they're
and
like, look, if you can make that play.
In overtime, he's trying to get it to Devon Toews for
on
what
the,
would have been like a wide-open
one-timer. Yeah.
The game's over, and this is a much different type of podcast.
I don't think it's that different.
I mean, I'd be pretty.
Yeah, it's. I think it's quite a bit different.
Yeah,
I don't think
I mean,
it
I think
is.
It's...
You feel a lot better. As meh as I feel about this, like, you feel a lot better if it's like, holy shit.
I feel not bad, and if that were the case, it would be jovial.
It'd be what?
Jovial.
Oh, I thought you said Jovi. I was like, Jovi.
No.
But, like, so you see what he's trying to do there. I would have preferred he just put that puck somewhere competitive.
Or do what every other team in the NHL has figured out.
Pull up.
Circle back, throw the puck back to Annan, change, whatever. Like, just keep possession of it and wait for another play. You don't, it is not 5-on-5, bro. You do not have to try and force that there.
They are. Alyssa with the shoe love, like
they
three pods
fade.
In a row.
A little bit of fade going on there.
Do you guys like to guess what type of shoes these are?
Ugly.
Okay.
I have no idea. I'm not a shoe person.
Crocs.
Okay.
They had to evolve. They went bankrupt doing what they were doing.
These are crazy comfy. Highly recommend. Highly recommend.
Nurses everywhere sign off on them. The medical profession is in love with Crocs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can cook them and eat them, right? That's
well,
the
it's
thing.
I read a thing recently that I guess they're making a huge comeback amongst Gen Zers.
Well, that's because they like bad shit.
I fucking love Crocs. I got a pair of fuzzy Crocs at home too. Real warm.
Are they just called Slippies?
Could call them Slippies. I call them my fuzzy Crocs.
All good.
Where are my fuzzy Crocs at?
I do want some DNVR Slippies.
Ooh,
I agree
way
with
better
they
than
could go
I agree
with the
I agree with Allie though. Allie brought up a great point. DNVR beanies as the next thing. I was
yeah,
like,
I'm surprised that we don't have them yet.
Right?
To be honest,
for real,
just black with DNVR.
Yeah.
Across the front, or you even just do the flag.
Yeah. I was gonna say the flag stack is the shit, dude. That's what's up. I love that logo. I'm so in love with
that flag
logo.
With the NVR underneath, or just the flag?
Just the flag stack. I'm good with that, man. That's
okay. So, Avs losing overtime. No one's panicking. A whole lot of reasons for the loss. Thanks. Still would have liked to see him win, but they pulled a point out.
Half of Rudo's face is going, so we got to get out of here.
It's already on its way out of the room at this point. So, pretty soon I'm going to start looking like a stroke victim.
I don't even know what to put for grades tonight, because
it's a weird one.
Just put puck for
there,
all of it.
There were isolated incidents that I thought were problematic. Overall, I just didn't have any huge issues with this game given the context of it all.
It was so hard to get a feeling for the entire game because the choppiness, the weird reffing, the weird stuff before the game going on with the Avs, all of it.
I think the lack of flow is a really good point too, because that's not a situation where we see the Avs have very much success. Yeah. They like to get into a rhythm and just stomp teams out.
Yep.
They don't really play traditionally. They don't play very well in more of the herky jerky stop start. They like to get into more of a flow.
And games like that, and the way this one went with just weird calls and weird bounces, are shitty team dreams. Because you just
those are called wins for bad teams. That's where those come from.
Because you crash into a goaltender and they count as a goal. Two games like this.
Dude.
Yeah, Rudo, let's get you out of here, man.
All right, we're going. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume. Like and subscribe here on YouTube to catch all of our content. We're off tomorrow because, we needed one day off the pod a week at least.
Because it's Sunday.
Yeah. We'll be back Monday, though, with the Philly game. 4:30 start, right?
4:30 pregame.
4:30 start.
Yeah.
I'll be in Philly pumping out stuff from there, so.
Bing, bang, boom. We got y'all covered. Check
so
out all
so hopefully chaos during warm-ups doesn't ensue again.
Yeah.
Where we get 17 different conflicting reports of who's on the ice and who's not.
All the way until after the game started, and what was on the screen didn't match what was actually
you
happening.
You had the tweet with the lineup, then you had the actual lineup, and then you had the altitude broadcast lineup.
Yeah. We're all different.
And all three of them were different.
Wild times. All right. We're out. Love you all. Talk to you on the next one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.